Hi, and welcome to the Vine Community Church podcast. We hope that what you're about to hear will help you to flourish in God's grace and bear fruit through loving God, loving each other, and loving our community.
My name is Tim Barton, and I'm going to say it this way. I'm the lead pastor at the Vine as of this week. That is fun to say in one sense. I usually say I'm one of the pastors here, and I probably will continue to say that in the future because I am one of the pastors here. But I highlight the fact that today I stand here as the lead pastor only because of this, because what I want to say is Pastor John, over the last 3 weeks, has shared with us a blessing in sending over this time. And in that, he's shared with us his heart for this church where God has used him to pour out the love of Christ over the last 22 years. And as he shared that, I hope that you have heard that the core of it is, who is Jesus? Why do we need the work of Jesus? And how we are to continue to be dependent upon that work as we move forward. And so we're at this phase, this, in a sense, a new beginning. And so as we come to this, I want to challenge us as a congregation that as we begin in this season, and as we begin this new school year in August, as work year tends to ramp back up in August for some of you, that as we begin in this season, we would begin with prayer. And so in these next 3 weeks, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about beginning with prayer. Today, we're going to see that how we approach God in prayer matters, that we need to come to Him humbly in prayer, asking Jesus to work in our church and asking Him to work in our lives. Because here's what I want you to know. Is that people have asked me this week already, which is kind of funny, already though, is what's going to be different with you as the lead pastor? My only answer right now is this. It's not going to be different in this sense. Here's what I want you to hear for sure. Is that we are going to continue to be dependent upon the one true God. We're going to continue to be dependent upon the one who by his Holy Spirit applies his word to our hearts. He says he does it in the scripture. And we're going to continue to remind one another of the hope, of our hope in Jesus alone. And our hope in the fact that it's him who is continuing to work and change us and sanctify us. But we are dependent on him if any of that's going to happen. That's in our church, and that's in our lives. And so this morning, as we come to God's word, again, we're going to come humbly asking Jesus to work in our church and in our lives. And so I want to ask you to do something, if you're willing, as we get ready for this passage. I want to ask you to pray this out loud, simply. That is, Lord, please change my heart where it needs to be changed. Do I need to repeat it, or is that pretty simple? All right. If you're willing, please pray that out loud with me now. Lord, please change my heart where it needs to be changed. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God's word, Luke chapter 18. We're going to pick up in verse 9 and read through verse 14. This is Jesus talking. Or it's talking about Jesus, excuse me, when it says he here in verse 9. He, Jesus, also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. One more time, we're seeing today that we are to come humbly asking Jesus to work in our church and in our lives. And the way we're going to see that today, this passage is pretty straightforward. I mean, if you look at this passage, what it's saying is pretty clear. And so what I want us to do is look at two questions about this passage. And that is to answer, what is it that keeps us from coming humbly before God? And then what will help us come humbly before Him? And I think you see these things in this passage. So the first thing, what will prevent us from coming humbly before God, asking Him to work? You see, we see that in the life of the Pharisee. And the people who Jesus was telling this story to, they were struggling to come humbly before God. I think they would have what we would call heart issues with coming humbly before Him. We know that because verse 9 says, He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. So who's he writing to here? Or who's he telling this story to, excuse me, Jesus? He's telling it to the self-absorbed, to those who had an inflated view of their own righteousness. They thought they were pretty good people. They thought they were doing pretty well. And because of their self-righteousness, they were prideful. They were contemptuous. That means they looked down on others. It literally says here that they despise the rest. They despise everyone else. And so they're the kind of people that were confident in themselves, confident in their own ability, confident in their own righteousness. They were convinced, now hear this, it's a little bit poignant for us. They were convinced that their religious thoughts and that their religious actions would protect them from any sense of further need. They may even think that because of those things that God owed them something. And so Jesus tells the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And in the Pharisee we see the things that would keep us from humbly coming before God. There's three of them, I think, in this passage. So, we will not come humbly before God if, the first thing, we think we don't need others. Verse 11 says, the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus. Now, let me pause for a minute, because if you grew up in the church, right, or you've been in the church lately, when you hear Pharisee, is that good or bad? Bad, right? That's how we think when we hear it, because that's what we're accustomed to. But for those that were hearing this, as Jesus was telling it, they didn't think bad when they heard Pharisee. Here's what they heard when they heard Pharisee. The Pharisee was the church man who went regularly. He was a Bible student. He read the Bible. He knew it. He had all sorts of, if it was today, highlights and notes and markings in his Bible. That was how they thought of when they heard Pharisee. He was known for his knowledge of the Bible. He knew the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the law. He knew the Talmud, which was not the Bible, but it was a commentary on the Torah. And the fundamental principle by which the Pharisees lived was that the unlearned, the uneducated, cannot be pious or cannot be righteous or holy. And so the Pharisee was the model of holiness and piety. He was also probably the first one to have his checkbook out when there was a need in the community. He was wanting to be seen, to be involved in all the things. He had developed himself for a religious lifestyle, and all could see it. Praying for him where he could be seen seemed almost like a hobby. And as a result of all that, he did not feel he needed others in his life. In fact, it seems that he kind of thought, if if I could use this phrase, that he was God's gift to everyone else. He was the one everyone else should be looking to. And so he didn't think he needed others teaching him or pouring into him or modeling things to him. And so he's standing by himself, standing apart, but standing where others could see him so that everyone could say, gee, look at how great that guy is. I sure wish I could be more like him. Or maybe it was like me when I was a senior in high school thinking pretty highly of myself and a Pharisaical tendency. Others would look and say, oh, I sure wish people could be more like Tim. It's interesting, that's actually what God used to break me of it, but because it was a humbling moment. But that's how people would see the Pharisees. And that kept him from coming humbly before God. He didn't think he needed others. The second thing that prevents us from coming humbly before God is if we think we are good by comparing ourselves to others. Look at the second part of verse 11. So the Pharisee standing by himself, and here's what he prayed. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Lord, thank you. For what? That I'm not like that guy. I'm not like those people. I'm thankful that I'm not an extortioner, that is, a swindler, a cheat, or one who deceives, a robber. I'm thankful that I'm not unjust, one who deals fraudulently with others, a liar, who violates justice, who is sinful. I'm thankful that I'm not an adulterer, one who defiles marriage through relationship with another. Those are pretty bad characteristics, right? Now, if I stop for a minute, I'm thankful that you're not like that either. Okay? Those are all actually biblical things that we shouldn't be. So what's the issue here? The issue here is that he thought that just not being those things is what made him better than everyone else. And because of that, he wouldn't come humbly before God. And then he continues, and the Pharisee prays, or even like this tax collector. Now again, we hear that, and we're like, yeah, we don't like the government taking our money either, right? But I want you to understand it's more than that here when he says tax collector. This tax collector in the cultural context would have been seen, would have been despised. So he worked for the Roman government, the occupying Roman government. He was uneducated, which we've already said would have been a problem. He was a crook. He was a collaborator. He was making money by siding with those who would have been considered the bad guys. And so he was seen as a traitor. The people would have spat upon him, despised him, and he would have been seen as disreputable as any other person in the culture. What's interesting is he couldn't even give his money in the synagogue. They wouldn't take it because it was considered dirty money. I mean, he was not looked upon well. In fact, he was hated. And so the Pharisee said, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that guy. Thank you that compared to him, I am so much better in the way that I do things. Now, if I challenge you right now and said, you know, when you come here today, do you come here because you are trusting Jesus or because you think you're better than someone else? Everybody in the room would probably go, no, I know I'm not better. It's because I'm trusting Jesus. But I want you to pause for just a minute. Who is it in your life, in your world, whether it's home, work, here, wherever, down the pew, we don't have pews, but you know the chairs from you. Who is it that you actually kind of think, I'm glad I'm better than that person? To the extent that we let ourselves go there without repenting of it, without saying we are to come humbly before Jesus, we, to the extent that we do that, we won't be able to come humbly before him. Because we still think we bring something when we compare to others. And that leads us to the third thing that prevents us from coming humbly, and that is we think God owes us. That's actually what the Pharisee's doing in verse 12. He's saying, I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get. So the Pharisee's coming and he's like, God, he's really acting like God owes him. You realize what he's doing? He's lecturing God. He's just told God all the things that were bad that he didn't do. And so he's lecturing God about that. Now he's turning around and he's going, in verse 12, he's talking positively about the things he does do. God, look at me. I do all these things. Now to us, we think he fasts twice a week. Okay, good for him. He could do that. But here's what that meant in the culture. According to Talmudic law, the Pharisee of Pharisees, so the best Pharisee is the one who fasts twice a week. He's the one that's more righteous than the rest. And so he's saying that he is the Pharisee of Pharisees, the one who is righteous because of this. Oh, and by the way, I also give my money dutifully. That's what he's saying. And so he's saying, God, again, those things aren't bad. But what's the motivation? What he's saying is, God, pay attention to me. Pay attention to who I am and what I've done. He wants God to look at him because he thinks God owes him. Now pause again for a minute. What is it in your life that makes you think God owes you? Is it because you've been so good at Bible study? Is it because you have good morals? Is it because you make good grades? Is it because you give to the poor? Is it because you've done your time serving in the children's area? Is it because you're better than the other person? We've already mentioned that. See, those things are, again, those things are good things. I would even say that there's commandments about them in Scripture, so don't misunderstand what we're saying here. But if we think that in doing those things, that means that God owes us, then we will not be able to humbly come before him and ask him to keep working in our lives and in the life of this church. All right, so those are the things that keep us from coming. What will help us to come humbly before him? We see this in the prayer of the tax collector. What will help us come humbly before him is if, first, we recognize our sin and our need. Look at verse 13. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Remember what the Pharisee did? He stood to be seen. The tax collector is standing far off. He does that because he's hesitant to come before God. He understands that in his own merit, he's not worthy to come before God in prayer. He's not worthy to ask God for anything. His sins are a heavy burden to bear, and it's all overwhelming for him as he comes before God, recognizing his sin, recognizing his need. And when he does, he beats his breast, sorry for his sins, because he sees that he has a great need for God before God. And so what's he pray? It's a very simple prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And it's actually better translated, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He saw himself as the sinful man. It's kind of like when the Apostle Paul calls himself the chief of sinners in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is not at the beginning of Paul's ministry, at the beginning of Paul's writing. This is towards the end. You remember what he says? It says, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost, of whom I'm the chief, of whom I'm the worst. He understands what's conveyed in the old hymn that Paul did, and then this tax collector, what's conveyed in the old hymn, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling, the cross of Jesus. That Jesus lived the perfect life, that he died the death on the cross that we deserve to pay the penalty for our sin, and that he rose again, defeating the power of sin. This enabled him to come humbly before God. And if we lose that because our cultural sensibilities will not let us call sin, sin, or if we lose that, this understanding of our need of God in our lives and in the church, if we miss the truth of God's word, then we will fail to come humbly before him on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. So you want to know what we're going to do in this church, what we're going to continue to do? Is that no matter what our culture says, no matter what our Christian subculture says, we will remember our sin and our need. And as we do so, we will come humbly before God, asking him to work, asking his help, asking for his strength. And what will also help us as we do so is when we recognize the power of our merciful God. Look back at the very end of verse 13. God be merciful. See, we're weak in ourselves. We have remaining sin in ourselves. We're needy in ourselves. That is not a popular message. And yet it's what the Bible teaches us about who we are before God in our own strength. But here's the deal. If you have trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not by yourself. It says that we have the power of the Holy Spirit, the same one that raised Christ from the dead, living within us. He is pointing us by his word. He's pointing us to Jesus. He's strengthening us to follow him. He's sanctifying us. John shared that last week. That means helping us die to sin and live to him. And so we're weak, we're sinful, we're needy by ourselves, but God, our God, the God is not. The tax collector knew there was only one place to turn. It was to God, who was merciful. It was to God who had the power and the ability to be merciful, because he is the only creator. He was the sustainer. And he's the judge. I find it interesting that in interaction with people, often they want to talk about God's mercy, but they don't want God to be the judge. Only the judge can be merciful. And we need his mercy. Let me just ask this question of the kids that are in here. There's some scattered around. You know, when you're little, and you need something. Let's say you need something to eat. I had boys, so I think this way. And you need something to eat, and you can't get it for yourself. Who do you go to? Your parents? Yeah, right? Why do you go to your parents? Because you know they can get it for you, right? Yeah, but I remember kids just little, before they could talk, you know, when it's the most frustrating stage and they're like, they want something and they're going, they can't get it themselves. They're happy playing with their toys, whatever. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I had boys. I'm hungry. And they're going in, and it's just that they can't talk in. And it says, and I'm like, stop it. Okay, let me help you. Let me figure out what you need. We go to the one who we know has the ability and the power to help us. At least that makes sense that we should. But don't we often run to other things instead? See, we come humbly before God when we remember, when we remind one another that He does have the power to help us. And so we come humbly. We repent of our sins, repent of trusting in ourselves, repent and trusting in other people, and we turn in faith to Jesus. And when we do that, we recognize our need and the only one who can truly help us. And that's how this parable summed up in verse 14. He says, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. When we think, I just want to ask you, leave you with this today. I want to, instead of asking the question, I just want to say this. I want to encourage you to challenge you. And understand, anytime I do this, I'm saying this to my own heart as well. To challenge and to encourage you, where are you, to ask the question, where am I trying to exalt my name instead of the name of Jesus? And then as a church, I want to ask all of you to be praying that we would always be about exalting the name of Jesus and never about exalting the name of the Vine Community Church. So let's go back to that question. Where are you trying to exalt your name instead of the name of Jesus?
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com, download our mobile app, or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.